Okay, great. Thank you, Mom Swan, for reminding me there to record. All right, did we get that? Hebrews chapter 3, 12 through 19, Hebrews chapter 4, 1 through 3, and chapter Hebrews chapter 4, 9 through 11, and Numbers chapter 13. Deuteronomy as well. Chapter 12, I believe it was, for my study. All right, so today we're talking about the subject of the message today is enter into the rest of God. Enter into the rest of God. And so we're going to start here in Numbers chapter 3, verses 12 through 19. I'm going to start off by giving you the purpose of the message today. The purpose of our message today, I guess the title certainly tells us what it is, and it is that entering into the rest of God. Like, what is that? What does that mean? What does it look like enter into the rest of God? And so for us to be able to, let's say, see it, appropriate the word of God for our lives today, we have the opportunity to take a look at the children of Israel. And you know, aren't you glad as well as I am that we have an opportunity to learn from the successes and failures of other people when we look in the Word of God? And so we're going to look at a story of the children of Israel as they were at the place of going into the Promised Land, and all of the events that happened on that day. Now, I want to start with chapter 3, verses 12 through 7 through 12 through 19, I believe is what I said. Yeah, 12 through 19, because that's going to also help us to understand what does this mean about entering into the rest of God. Okay, so just, you know, follow along with me today, and just hear what the Lord has to say. I do want you to know the purpose of the message, so that as I'm talking, the Holy Spirit is speaking to you through the message. You are understanding that today's message is to help to undergird, or I'm going to say to support, the confessions that we've been making and the discipleship class that we're in, as we are getting a firm footing into who am I in Christ, and also having faith in God. And so that's the purpose of the message today. So I want you to know that from the jump. Verse 12, Hebrews 3:12. Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. For we are made partakers of Christ. We are made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end. While it is said today, if ye will hear his voice, harden not your hearts as in the provocation. For some, when they had heard, did provoke, howbeit not all that came out of Egypt by Moses. But with whom was he grieved 40 years? Was it not with them that had sinned, whose carcasses fell in the wilderness? And to whom swear he that they should not enter into his rest, but to them that believe not? So we see that they could not enter into because of what? Unbelief. So we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief. All right, I'm gonna stop here for a minute, because as we do, as it is a habit, a prerequisite in Safe Refuge Ministries, we want to give our summary and some background of this book of Hebrews, so that we can keep the message that we're speaking in context. And so how many of you know that you could go anywhere in this Bible and choose some words, make those words say anything you want it to say if you want it to? But we're not allowed to do such a thing. And so that we understand the context of why the author wrote this letter so we can keep the message in that context. So the author of Hebrews wrote this letter to Jewish believers. This is Jewish believers, so those who had converted from Judaism to believing in Christ. And so the author of Hebrews wrote this letter to them because they were having two issues. There were two issues, and those two issues were they were wavering on their belief in God. And so the author wanted to reassure them that their belief in Jesus was sure and that it was legitimate. And also, the author of Hebrews, we're not going to say that they knew, this author knew what was going to happen to the temple in AD 70, but by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, now of course as we look back, we can see that the Holy Spirit was preparing this people to be ready for when the temple would be destroyed. Because see, let me explain something to you. These Jewish Christians, whereas they had converted over to Christianity, they had not fully walked away from the rituals of Judaism. They grew up in that. That's what they knew. That's what they understand. See, and understand at that time, they didn't have a King James Bible with the New Testament in it, you know, for them to be able to read all of Paul's letters to all the churches and read, you know, the doctrine of Paul and about the doctrine of grace. They didn't have that. And so they were living their understanding of what Christianity is. And for them at this time, they were still going to the temple. Well, the temple was about to be destroyed, meaning that their whole way of life was about to just go away. And so by the wisdom of God, through the Holy Spirit, inspired the author of Hebrews to prepare them, to let them know, don't you worry, because Jesus Christ is our high priest. You know, things like that he said to them in the book of Hebrews. And there's none greater than the Christ. You know, he was preparing them at that time. He prepared them with the understanding that when Christ tore the veil, it was for every believer. And now we have direct contact, direct connection with God through Christ. So he was telling them those things. And so to prepare them for that time. So the book of Hebrews, what we call the book of Hebrews, was a letter that was written, inspired by the Holy Spirit, the author of Hebrews, to Jewish Christians to strengthen their faith because they had become weak in faith in Christ. All right? So that is the context. So now we get to chapter 3, or that's part in the letter, where he is now reminding them, the Jewish Christians, do you remember your forefathers? Remember what they did in what he called the time of provocation, right? Now, don't forget what their actions did for them back in that time. So he's reminding them. And so I'm going to say, inspired by the Holy Spirit, thought it would be good for us to go back and let us look at what did they actually do. Now, what is the author of Hebrews telling us about this time in the provocation and where they were not able to enter in because of unbelief and the evil heart? And so what is he saying? Because we're going back here and we're going to learn from the children of Israel, God's own people, so that we don't have to make the same mistakes that they made, and we can learn from their successes. So if you have your Bibles, if you will also take a look with me at Numbers chapter 13. Numbers chapter 13. I am actually going to summarize this story mostly, but I do want us to lay our eyes on some of these verses, those that stand out for the subject that we're talking about today. Numbers chapter 13. I'm going to read verses 1 through 3 and then explain a few things. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, send thou men that they may search the land of Canaan, which I give unto the children of Israel. Of every tribe of their fathers shall ye send a man, every one a ruler among them. All right, so what's going on here? Moses and this great multitude called the children of Israel are now at the place where they're able to go in to possess the land of promise, this land that's flowing with milk and honey. this land that God had promised to Abraham, that Abraham's children would possess as an inheritance, that they would no longer have to be nomads as Abraham was and those that came after him. They would no longer have to be nomads, moving from place to place and planting here and moving there and being open to the access of all the other nations and having easy access of just the elements of just living in the desert and in the wilderness. And God had promised Abraham this land to his children. And so it is now time for them to go in, and they're standing at the place of going in. God told Moses, send 12 people, send the rulers of each of the families of Israel. And so Moses did that. And so verse 17, and Moses sent them to spy out the land of Canaan and said unto them, and this is what he told them. He said, go up in the mountain. When you get to the mountain, see, you're going to be high enough to look around, and you will be able to know about the land. Like, what is the land? The people that dwell therein. Are they strong or are they weak? Are there just a few of them or are there many people in this land? Is the land good or is it bad? They will be able to see the cities. The cities, do they dwell in tents or do they have strongholds? And what in the land, is it fat or is it lean? Do they have wood there? You know, and then he told him, he said, listen, now do this. Cut down some of their fruit and bring it back so that we can see with our own eyes. And we can attest to what the Lord has said to us about this land of milk and honey. And so all of them, they went up and they went into the land. The Bible tells us they went in and they saw all the things there. And they saw the people and they went through the land. And here in the book of Numbers, Deuteronomy has a greater story of what happened when they were there. And so they went up to this place called the Brook of Eshcol. They cut down, the Bible says, one cluster of grapes. Now this one cluster of grapes, they had to tie it on a staff, you know, like a staff, like the shepherds would carry, you know, like a walking stick, but it was a tall walking stick. So they had to tie this one cluster of grapes on a cluster, on a walking stick, and two men had to carry it. So these are the grapes that was in the land of milk and honey. They were huge, just as the Lord has said. And so this is evidence of the people. Yes, this land is as the Lord has said. They also took back pomegranates and figs from that land. And so when they returned, the Bible said they stayed there for 40 days, you know, going in and out and throughout the land, spying out the land so that they come back with a report. And when they had come back, I'm at verse 26, and they went and they came to Moses and Aaron and to all the congregation of the children of Israel unto the wilderness of Paran to Kadesh, and brought back word unto them and unto all the congregation, and showed them the fruit of the land. And so here's visual fruit. This land is exactly what the Lord said it was going to be. And can you imagine? Now, I want you to put yourself in the story. Like, get in the story. You know how we do. Use your imagination in this story. We're in the story. And all the people there are waiting for these spies to come back. And so they come back and they come walking. And there's two men having to carry the grapes. Can you imagine the excitement in the midst of them? They have pomegranates and figs, and here they are, and they have returned. And so we're in this story, and we can see what's going on. The people are waiting to hear. What did you see? And so they told him, the spies that went, told Moses, and said, we came unto the land whither thou sentest us. I'm at verse 27. And surely it flowed with milk and honey, and this is the fruit of it. And everybody now is like, can you imagine? Are we ready? Let's go. We have to get to this land. Keep in mind, these folk have been traveling through the wilderness in the desert. They had to get their water from a rock, and their bread was falling from heaven. And all types of things have been coming against them, and they've got these nations, and they're planting tents and pulling up tents. See, they've been through some things here. And now they get to go into this promised land where they won't have to move anymore. They get to take over houses they didn't build. There's fruit there that they didn't plant. And this is the promise of the Lord to them. Imagine how the people felt. But oh, somehow the 10 didn't stop there. They said, okay, that's the good news, but here's the bad. Verse 28, nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in the land, and the cities are walled and very great. And moreover, we saw the children of Anak there. Now the children of Anak were giants. And we saw them and they were there. Not only that, verse 29, we saw all the hostile nations, those nations that are hostile against us, the Amalekites and the Hittites, the Jebusites, the Amorites, and all these nations are in this land. Yeah, here's the good news. It's the land of milk and honey. But here's the bad news. It's too big for us. All these nations are there. They have giants there. That's the bad news. And verse 31, but the men that went up against them said to them, oh no, I'm sorry, verse 30. Let me go back to verse 30. Now Caleb stepped up. Caleb said, wait, wait, wait. He saw that this report has gone south. So he says, wait, 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 to steal the people, to calm them down. And he said to them, wait, now listen. Let us go up at once, he said. We don't want to wait. We're going now. We're going to possess this land, for we are well able to overcome it. But the men, the 12, the one with the good and bad news, they said, we be not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. Verse 32, and they brought up an evil report of the land, which they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying, the land, though which we have gone to search it, is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof. And all the people that we saw in it are men of a great stature. And there we saw the giants, the sons of Anak, which come of the giants. In verse 33, and we were in our own sights as grasshoppers, and so we were in their sight. And there we have the problem. There we have the problem. The problem being this. They said it out of their own mouths. We see ourselves as compared to the obstacles that were in the land, see. And so, according to the obstacles in the land, we're only as big as grasshoppers, and we have no strength against them. And see, what were those obstacles in the land? Those obstacles, these things, these nations that were hostile against them. It was the people, the giants that were there. They were stronger than them. The walled cities, they were very great. And so they're saying, how in the world can we overcome this? And but wait. What about the credit report or your resume or your grades, you know, that didn't meet the match or how much you make an hour? No, what about those things? And so you might be saying right now, wait, Pastor LeVon, I thought we were talking about the people back then. I thought we were talking about walled cities and giants. And what do you mean about credit reports and what I make an hour and the last grade reports in school and those things that it didn't finish in the doctor report? What are you saying? We're talking about obstacles. The people back there talked about their obstacles. They saw themselves as compared to the obstacles that was in the land of promise. And so now let us just be aware of, we have obstacles too that want to stand in between ourselves and the promise of God for us. And I just mentioned a few that might be, you know, relevant for your life, for us to now think about these obstacles so that we can learn here. It is not a good thing for us to compare ourselves to the obstacles, but to see ourselves as God sees us. Because what did God say about the children of Israel? He says, you are my people. Isn't that what he said? And isn't it what he said, that they won't be able to stand before you? That's what he said about them. And so, though these 10 spies, now as they have now driven the people to this place of frenzy, to now believe, oh, we're only grasshoppers. And so now that we think we're grasshoppers, we also now project what we see on ourselves to them. And they saw us as grasshoppers too. Well, how did they know that? Did anybody run around and go talk to giants? Do you think the 10 went over to the giants and say, do we look like grasshoppers to you? Where did they get that from? They got that from their own perception of how they saw themselves. So we see ourselves as grasshoppers, and so they see us as grasshoppers too, see? So again, let's take a look at our own things that we may sometimes think of ourselves as, you know, we have come through some things in our lives, or, you know, you didn't finish a couple things, and so maybe you think of yourself as a person who can't finish a thing, and so certainly you project that they must think I'm a non-finisher too. Well, maybe, I don't know, maybe you have mental illness in your family, so you know, all the mental illness in your family, so of course it's an obstacle there, and so and of course you must think that, you know, I'm mentally ill too. So we project those things onto others, what we may think of ourselves. But this is the time that we stop here to say, and now who am I in Christ? Who did God say that I am? When these things come up in our lives on a daily basis, when you look in your bank account and it looks like it's not enough, what do we say? I have no lack in my life. Why? God supplies all my needs. See, and this is when we look at the word of God and choose to believe what God said about us. We don't want to do and make the same mistake that these 10 spies made in having a evil report against what God says, and now all the people believing this evil report, and they think of themselves as grasshoppers now, and other people do, and so now they are weak. Why? They believe so. They believe they're weak now, because they believe so. Now, if that's not enough, let's look at chapter 14 real quick, because we need to see here. These folk, I'd like to say they're unlike none other, but unfortunately, sometimes we can find ourselves in the children of Israel. So verse 14, verse 1 says, and all the congregation lifted up their voice and cried, and the people wept that night. Why did they cry? Because now, oh man, our hopes was we were going into the city, and now to find out God lied to us, we can't go because we're grasshoppers and we're too small, and now they crying. And all in verse 2, and all the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron, because Moses, Aaron, it's your fault. Oh, it's always somebody else's fault. Moses, Aaron, it's your fault why we can't, because we're in this situation now, it's your fault. And the whole congregation said unto them, we just might well have died in Egypt. So, why did the Lord bring us out anyway? And we would have been better off back in Egypt. And so, not only is it Moses and Aaron's fault, but to these folks, it's God's fault too. Oh, these folk have a whole lot of courage. Now, they may see themselves as grasshoppers, but they got enough courage to blame God. They got enough courage to tell God, God, you a liar. They got enough courage to do that, to affront God, to be an offense to him, to blame him. Oh, they got a lot of courage, but they see themselves as grasshoppers here. And so, just to finish out the story so that we can get it all here. And so, Moses and Aaron and Joshua and Caleb are hearing what these people are saying, and they fall to in the face of God. And they're repenting for the people. And they're saying, Lord, don't take them out. But the Lord showed up in the assembly of the people. And God says, oh no, this is it. I've had enough. Says to Moses and Aaron, he said, no, I had enough. He said to the people, Verse 14, verse 12. I want you to see this with your own eyes. He said, I will smite them with the pestilence and disinherit them and will make of thee a greater nation and mightier than they. He said to Moses and to Aaron, he says, I'm through with these people. They have now called me a liar. They have now offended me, telling me they're going to go back to Egypt. After all I've done for them, I brought them out with the 10 plagues, the mighty hand that I've shown for them. I've made them my own people. I have fed them in the wilderness. I have given them water in the wilderness. I have kept them well. They walked for 40 years and their shoes didn't wear out. Then God has done all of this for these people, and now they're going to stand in the assembly of the people in the face of God and say, God, you a liar. And you're weak and you can't take care of us. God says, that's it. We're not doing this anymore. But old Moses and Aaron and Joshua and Caleb, they cried out to the Lord. And the Lord finally said, okay, all right, no, okay, I won't kill them. For my own reputation, I won't kill them. But what we will do, they're going back into the wilderness. And this is what's going to happen. This whole generation, they're going to die in the wilderness. And their children and Joshua and Caleb will go into the promised land. So then, you know, you all, listen, this is as good as a drama on TV. So then, they go to sleep that night. After now, the Lord says, I'm coming, I'm going to kill you all. And then it says, no, okay, all right, I'll take it back. You can live, but you're going to die in the wilderness. And your children are going to go in. They go to sleep that night. Wake up in the morning. And they say to Moses, okay, we have all our gear on, all our armors on. We ready to go to war now. We're going in. We're going to take the land now. We're going. Moses said, hey, I don't advise you to do that. Moses says, you better settle yourself down. God is not with you. You better not go. But what do? They go anyway. They go up the mountain. They're going to go now. And they're going to take the promised land now, or what they're going to do it their way, on their time. See, they're going now. Anybody want to guess what happened? Yeah, they got their tails whipped. That's what happened. The Amalekites tore them up. That's what happened. That's what happened. And so now, get somewhere and be still, children of Israel. You have missed your time. So then Moses gathers them up. They go back into the wilderness for 40 years. See, do you understand? They had to go until they all died. Now watch this. There was a rest. God had promised it. Now, let us understand. Back in the Old Testament days, the rest of God for them was a physical land. It was a place the Lord was going to take them, had prepared for them. He used all these people that he was going to wipe out because they refused to honor him as God. And all the cities that they had built, all the houses, all the good things, the water, they had wells, they had everything, all the fruit and vegetation they ever needed. The cities were walled. It would protect them from other nations. They could go there and they could rest in God. It was a land back in that day. But for us, there's a different kind of rest for us. What is our rest? We're going to see here in just a minute. Go back with me to Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4. Let's take a look at this rest. Now, as we're looking at this, we've seen the story. We've heard the story of the children of Israel and how they tried to handle this thing. And so now that helps us to understand Hebrews chapter 3. The author of Hebrews, as inspired by the Holy Spirit, was saying to these Jewish Christians, which, by way, Holy Spirit is saying to us today in our contemporary time, in our time, listen, don't do like they did. It's not going to work out for you to do like they did. And so, understand this. Verse 19, chapter 3, verse 19 tells us very clearly, so we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief. Do we understand here? They did not They were not kept out of the land of promise because of any other sin. It wasn't for adultery. It wasn't for fornication. It wasn't for thievery. It wasn't for any other sin. It wasn't because the sacrifice they brought wasn't perfect. It wasn't for any other sin. It was only the sin of unbelief. That was it. They were only kept out because of unbelief. So then let's understand, what is this unbelief? Unbelief is this. It is rebellion. It is defiance. They were kept out because of defiance against God. They refused to believe. They refused to obey. It wasn't just, oh, we scared, but we going anyway. See, it wasn't fear that kept them out. It was unbelief, the refusal to believe what God said. Not just unbelief, but defiant actions against God. That's what kept them out of the land of promise. But Hebrews chapter 4 verse 1 tells us this. This is for us today. I know the author of Hebrews wrote it to the Jewish Christians back in that day, and it was good for them then. It is good for us now. And so the Father says to us by way of Holy Spirit, let us therefore fear, lest the promise being left us to enter into his rest, any of us should seem to come short of it. Which simply says, listen, let us take heed here. Let us look at their successes and their failures. Let us be keenly aware that we too could miss this place of rest if we don't believe. What is, in verse 2, for unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them. But the word preached did not profit them. Why? Because they would not unite themselves with the faith of that word. Being mixed with faith, the King James says. But for we which have believed, do enter into rest. How do we enter into the rest of God? It is this. We believe what he said. We believe what he said. We enter into his rest because we believe what he said. But that's not it. That's not all. Watch this. Verse 9, chapter 4, verse 9. There remains therefore a rest to the people of God. What the author is saying there, they didn't go in. Now Joshua did take a generation into the promised land. But then Joshua got there, and by his own, by the declaration of his own mouth, it wasn't the finished rest of God. And so now the author is saying there remains a rest of God now for us today, us, we people. And for he that has entered into his rest has also ceased from his own works. So how then do we enter into this place called the rest of God? We do this because we believe what he said. And then we cease from our own works. See, if we remember back there, as the folk back in the day, Numbers 13 that we just went through, they not only didn't believe what God said, but they became defiant enough to now, we're going to do it our own way. No, we got this. I tell you what, first they said, this is what we're going to do. We don't even belong here anyway. We're going back to Egypt. So they got themselves a captain. They made somebody say, okay, you're going to lead us back to Egypt. When God had already said, you'll never return there. Oh, but they're going to go back because we're going to do this our own way, see. And then when they found out, oh, okay, well, we started that, we're going to die. So then they wake up in the morning and say, all right, we're ready. We're going to take the land now. Oh, but we're going to do it our own way. We're going to send the army ourselves, our own. We're going to go our own way to do that. See, they could not enter into the rest of God because they had their own stuff. They had their own way, their own perception, the way they're going to do it. We've been doing it this way. Mama and them do it. We've been doing it this way for generations. See, this is how the world said we do it. We go to Google to get our information. See, this is how step 1 through 10 to build a business. We deal with that. We, you know, this is what we have in our hands to deal with. See, we're going to do it our own way. This people over here, they were successful. That's how they did it. That's how we going to do it. See, entering into the rest of God says this: Lord, I trust you for what you said. And I lay down all my own ways to be completely dependent on you. They that enter into the rest of God has ceased from their own works as God did from his. Why did God cease? Because the work was finished. And so we enter into the finished work of God because we believe him, because we trust him, because we know him, because we rely on him completely. God is not only a source for us. He is our only source. That's how we enter into the fullness and the abundance of God, because we rest. And so verse 11 gives us the encouragement of what to do next. And it says to us, so let us labor, therefore, to enter into that rest. What is our labor? Our labor is to abandon ourselves. Our labor is to abandon the way we are used to doing a thing, the thing we're comfortable with. Our labor is to do it God's way, no matter how it feels. That's our labor. Our labor is to trust what he said, to know what he said, to know the Lord. Our labor is to repeatedly, day after day, multiple times a day, to go over a list that says who I am in Christ. That's our labor, is to get in this word, in the 20 cans of success, in every other confession of faith that the Holy Spirit has given you. That's our labor, to know the Lord. Our labor is to bring our energies and our efforts and make a priority the things of God. So let us labor, therefore, to enter into that rest, so that we don't fall under the same example of defiance against God and unbelief against what he said, so that we stand as a people that the promise that Daniel chapter 11 verse 32 tells us, that we are the people that know our God and we're strong and do great exploits in the earth. So see, we are the people that enter into his rest because we choose to believe. On every step of the way, we choose to believe. When it doesn't look like believing makes sense, we still choose to believe what God says, and we take action based on what God said for his children to do. And the Lord promised us this morning in his own prophetic word, he promised us if we will allow him to let that rest to rise up in us, he will do in us more than we've ever asked or imagined. Do you believe that this morning? We enter into the rest of God. Oh, brothers and sisters, you and I know that we have plenty of opportunity, moment by moment, to practice this resting in God, don't we? We have, multiple times in a day where we can stop and remember what God said about a thing. We remember who he says we are. Yeah, no, I'm God's child. I've been bought with a price. I belong to God. I have everything that I need in him. I follow the Lord. He provides everything for me. The word says I'm strong and I'm not weak. The word says I'm healed and I'm not sick. Pretty all during the day, we have multiple times during the day where we can put this to practice. But let us endeavor to keep forefront in our mind to make the kingdom of God and his way of doing things the priority of our lives. And what did he say? He promised that he would add everything else to our lives. Amen. Glory to God. Let us know that we are accepted. We are significant. We have safety and security in God. It is for us. What's our part? Trust, believe, rely, and obey on the Lord. Amen. Glory to God. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you, Lord, for your word this morning, reminding us. Your word gives us permission to believe you at all times, no matter what it looks like and no matter what it feels for us. Your word gives us permission, Lord, to trust you and rely on you. And what we find is that you never leave us, you never forsake us, you never abandon us, and you never let us down. Thank you, Father, I pray for this word today that strengthens us in how we believe, how we trust you, and how we walk it out. It strengthens us, Lord. And we give you glory for it in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, now you may be listening to this recording, or you may be sitting with someone here today, and you know you're not a child of God. Well, my invitation to you is become one. Yeah. Like, if you're not saved, the best thing for you to do, get saved. It is. And what does that mean, get saved? That means that you turn from your own ways, from living life your own way, the way you think is the best way to do, making choices for yourself, see, because you think that the way you have all planned out is the best way to go, and you recognize it's not really working out the way it should. Mm-hmm. You kind of like the children of Israel back in the day. Doing it your own way is not going to work. But submitting your life to God, having Jesus as your Lord and Savior, yeah, that's life. And that's life more abundantly. It is. And so today, if you change your mind and you know you're a sinner, but you don't want to be that anymore, then you can come home. Come home to the Lord. And I'll just lead you in a prayer to ask the Lord to come in. And he'll do just that. Father, repeat after me. Father, I'm not saved. I am a sinner. I am much like the children of Israelite that we read about today. But I've changed my mind. I want to be a child of God. Jesus, come into my life and come into my heart. Be my Lord and be my Savior. Now, I don't understand it all, but I commit to learning your way. Jesus, thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name. All right, if you said that prayer, then that's all it takes. You've asked the Lord to be your Lord, and he has done just that. So you have become a new creation on the inside. All of your outside is all the same. It all looks the same. How about even in your mind, you still have the same memories. But you are brand new on the inside, a new creation. The Spirit of the Lord God has come and reside in you, and you are a child of God, fully, completely saved. You'll never be able to work your way into salvation. It is a gift given to you today. Now, we want to help you know how to walk out your new life, so you can reach out to us. It's Safe Refuge in Christ, all words, all spelled out like a sentence, saferefugeinchrist@gmail.com. Or you can call or text us at 240-619-8828. And we will be so happy to reach back to you and to help you along the way. Now, if you have a church home, go to church. You must get in the body of believers and to help you along the way. Oh, glory to God. We are rejoicing today in your new life in Christ. And all of heaven is rejoicing as well. Glory to God. All right, our announcements today. Wednesday at 7 p.m., we will continue our discipleship course. We go to session 3 this week. coming up, session three this week. So again, press your way. I encourage you to press your way and encourage the rest of us. There are 20 of us in this discipleship course. And so when you think about it, encourage others to press their way through. The Lord is doing great things in this course. And Friday, our prayer at 7:30. Our brother Alex is leading us in prayer on Fridays at 7:30. And it's been powerful. I mean, every week, just powerful what the Lord does in that time. So we encourage you to come out there too. And Sunday, October 27th, is our in-person service at Miss Viola's on October the 27th. We hope certainly to see you there on that day as well. Glory to God. Thank God for the Lord's Day on a Sunday. Thank you all for being here and being attentive for and allowing the Lord to deposit in you what we need to continue and be in His rest, in the rest of God. Hallelujah. All right. Bless the Lord. We're going to look to the Lord now and be dismissed. Father, we thank you. We thank you, Lord, that today we have reaffirmed, confirmed, fully committed once again that we are in the rest of God. Lord, as you have brought more clarity for us, reminding some of us, teaching us anew and afresh, others of us, that entering in your rest, it's this thing called believing you, trusting what you said, acting on what you said, and abandoning in our own ways, in our own way of doing things, trusting and relying and depending on you. And so we enter into this rest daily, Lord, by the word of God. And we thank you for it. Father, we say yes to you this morning. We say yes to you now. We'll say yes to you tomorrow, yes to you next week. That yes, we will allow you, Lord, to show us all of the goodness of this place called rest. Rest in God, yes. We say yes, Lord. And so I thank you and seal upon this people the promise of God of entering into that rest as we yield ourselves to you. Father, thank you. You will continue to do greatly in our midst and in our lives. We have become your showpiece. We receive that. We have become the demonstration of the power and the goodness of God, and we receive that. And we have become the wisdom of God in Christ, and we thank you, Lord. And so we again submit, Lord, to flowing with you, keeping in step with the Spirit, as we remain in your rest. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, hallelujah, hallelujah. All right, people of God, have a good Sunday and a good week. I'm looking forward to seeing you on Wednesday. And as you know, I love you for sure. Jesus loves you so much more. And we are comforted by the love of the Father today, aren't we? All right. Well, have a good day and I'll see you soon.